Welcome to the 5511 Podcast, inspiring stories of God's power being poured out globally in the lives of ordinary people. Hosted by Dirk Smith and Brooke Kell. This podcast is supported by EEM. EEM publishes, prints, and distributes Bibles and Bible-based materials in 30-plus nations and in 20-plus languages, free to all. Welcome to the 5511 Podcast. We're doing this remote, which is kind of neat. This is a first for us, and we are in Vienna, Austria, with Dasha Novikova, a revisit with Dasha. Good to have you back. Dasha, good to see you. Not actually on Zoom. We're actually face-to-face.
I know. So this it's good is to very be here nice. In person.
Yeah, it's nice
good to see you. Good to have you here.
Yeah. We wanted to do a follow-up just with all the things going on in Ukraine. And I think first I'd ask you, give me the overall outlook right now. I mean, how many refugees are there that you're aware of? I mean, I know you and your team here are doing a lot of work with the humanitarian aid. So you've got refugees who have left the country, and then there's a whole nother group that are internally displaced people, IDPs. Talk about that a little bit, just in the magnitude of that and what their experience is like.
A lot is going on right now. We have people migrate a lot. They have a very much like a nomad lifestyle because of the war. We have, according to statistics, there is about 7 million of Ukrainians who left the country. It used to be in the beginning of war, it used to be 9 million. Now, since there are some areas that are liberated, people are going back home. But also nearly 12 million of people who are internally displaced, people who are displaced within the country, who were forced because of the military action. They had to leave, people who were evacuated. They still stay within the country, but they are not settled in their homes. For instance, Mariupol, one of the cities that was attacked first, and now it's mostly destroyed. There used to be 500,000 people living in Mariupol only. Right now, one of the hottest spots is Bakhmut. Most of the population was evacuated from Bakhmut, which is 72,000 of people. So these are the sizes of people migrating. First wave of migration was Bucha and Irpin. These are the towns that are about 100,000 population. Of course, the liberated areas, people are coming back now. People are returning to their homes. They're trying to build it, to rebuild, to restore what was destructed. But there are many who lost everything and they have no place to return.
Yeah. And what are they coming back to? Man alive, that's got to be so devastating for them to... You know, you leave and then more destruction happens and then you come back.
Yeah, and many people leave not only one time. They go back, they see the destruction, they try to do something, but then when the bombing is continuous, they realize that no matter how much they want to be home, it's impossible to stay there. Especially those areas that on the borderline, very often they are shoot not for the military purposes, but soldiers just entertain themselves by doing that, and it's just impossible to live there and to stay there. Some people still remain, those who cannot be evacuated, those who are handicapped, those who are sick, those who have some disabilities, who are bedridden, and their relatives are forced to stay with them and take care of them and they're not able to leave themselves nor abandon their dear ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really unimaginable. Something I've been thinking about a lot is how you and your team are able to be here and still work on behalf of a lot of people who are IDPs, internally displaced people there, like you were just talking about. And I'm just wondering, how is that continuing to impact your team here that's now in Vienna, getting in those stories continuously? Because like we've talked about, it's kind of been taken out of our news cycles. And so I'm just been thinking about how your team is dealing with still continuously getting those same stories.
We're receiving such overwhelming feedback from these. We are hearing the news that hearing things that you will not hear on news. Mm-hmm. Because news, they report events, they report what happened, the sizes of destruction, but we are hearing how people survive through this, mm-hmm. how people are going through this, mm-hmm. and what are they facing. For instance, as I said, when people flee, when they evacuate, when government evacuates them, they come to new areas, and what do they face there? Mm-hmm. They are totally alone.
Yeah.
Government has larger scale problems. Nobody cares for them. Government provides some minimum financial support. But what do you do when you on yourself with only backpack? So this is when volunteer churches step outside, and this is when they reach out to these people and provide help. And we are working with them. We are providing them financial assistance. We are providing Bibles to them to be. We had such a great testimonies from churches during the winter when there were blackouts and there was no electricity, no heating, no mm-hmm. no water supply, because all is connected with electricity. So what do people do? They would gather together elsewhere, try to stay warm. The more people, the warmer warmer it stays.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, such simple things that we forget about, but mm-hmm. people were forced to adjust, and mm-hmm. they would take Bibles and read it with the candles. And we're receiving this amazing photos of people reading mm. Bibles through the candles. And of course, being in a safe place, you think this looks so nice, you know, this looks so cozy, this looks so peaceful. But no, it is not. It is people who are down. It is people who are not doing it because it feels good. They're mm-hmm. doing it because they have no other hope. They have nothing else mm-hmm. but, you know, this group, this candle, and this Bible to read and get strengthened.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, some of the stories, I'll tell you, one of the ones that got me, and we put it out on social media, that little girl who got the children's Bible, and it was almost like it was a teddy bear. She got it and slept with it.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
That just, I mean, touched my heart. Because I know, for all of us, I think all of us would say, in our lives, whenever there was a time of trial or turmoil in our life, physical turmoil or trial, we look back and we say, I grew. If I'm with God, if I'm standing down on that foundation, it's during that time that I would look back and say, man, I grew. I really grew. And so I'm watching these Ukrainians who their spirit is so strong. I mean, Ukrainians have always had a special place in my heart, but I'm watching them go through this horror, but doing it with such grace and peace and love for each other. I mean, watching them embrace each other and take care of each other, it's really heartwarming. But how are you? I'm gonna get personal. How are you and your team doing? I mean, how are you doing? Because this is, again, it's out of our news cycle, and it's easy for us as Americans to go out of sight, out of mind, but to realize for you, mm-hmm. you fled Donetsk once, had to leave your home. Now you get to Kyiv and you get all set up and you got a great apartment there, beautiful apartment. And now war breaks out and here you are in Vienna with your daughter and your mom and colleagues who are here with you as well. I mean, how are you guys doing?
We are doing good. I cannot complain. We have friends, we have colleagues, we have prayer support, amazing prayer support that is so meaningful to us. But of course, and we're trying to keep on going, and we realize that just by sitting and grieving and thinking about the scale of grief that became our daily life, you will not make a difference. You will not make a difference just by concentrating on yourself and your pain and your troubles. We try to do as much as possible and in the area where we can. So when you see somebody in struggle, when you have people calling you and sharing about larger scale problems, you just try to think, what can I do? Whom can I connect with? Mm-hmm. Whom can I, with what I have, what I can provide? And of course, due to generosity of so many people, we have the response for that. We are not just listening, but we are able to drop some help where it is critically needed. Somebody needs a part for the car to keep going. To that there is a family who had two kids, and one of them was born with disabilities, and every day they have to take that child to treatments, to the mm-hmm. hospital, and he's not transportable, so they had a vehicle. And just in the midst of all that, the vehicle, the critical part got broken. Well, we helped that family mm. With that, to buy that part, and they just continue helping their child and taking care of their child. So many examples of people needing medicines. You know, with all happening, all the chronic diseases that people had for years, they just pop out. People have strokes.
Yeah. So what's amazing is
blood pressure.
Yeah. So I'm listening. The amazing thing about you is, so I asked that question about how you and your team, and you immediately think about people who are worse off than mm-hmm. you, which is amazing. I mean, it's great, but I know that's your spirit. You think about the people that are internally displaced. You think about other refugees and what they're having to do. And that's why you and your team, mm-hmm. It's been so encouraging, I know, to us, and I know to a lot of our people, that you all came here and your immediate reaction was, we have to help. And so you've spent your time making sure that your fellow countrymen are taken care of and their needs are being met,
yes,
in critical ways.
Yes, and there are thousands of Ukrainians just like me, and also not only Ukrainians. There is a saying that dark times, in the dark times, you see light inside of people more clearly. So.
Yeah.
Every day we are getting these testimonies about grief and destruction, but also every day we're getting these great examples of peoples with huge hearts who are not thinking about themselves, but thinking mm-hmm. about somebody else who needs help and
yeah.
providing funding, providing help, providing hands of help, you know, coming and just being together, doctors, all kinds of people who cannot stand seeing people in trouble. And this is the blessing. Of course, our life is a bit too extreme. You see extreme pain and extreme grief, mm-hmm. but yet you see this extreme shine of kindness, of mm-hmm. Compassion, of desire to help, and not necessarily in something big, you know, every help matters, and this is amazing to see and so encouraging.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, the internally displaced, I mean, this whole situation, are you seeing more refugees come this way? We're seeing them come to the U.S. I mean, we talked about that a little bit earlier. I mean, we're seeing them move around. But, you know, so you got the refugee situation. We're seeing more. Are you seeing more come here to Vienna and to other areas? Or has that slowed down a little bit?
Slowed down. It changes all the time. So whenever the aggression escalates in some areas, of course, more people go away. And take into consideration the level of destruction in Ukraine, there is not enough facility to just provide people roof above the head. So all the neighborhood countries are also overwhelmed with Ukrainians, and those who cannot settle or satisfy their basic needs, of course they're looking for other places and other areas to get a shelter. And right now, at the moment, U.S. government had established a very good program for Ukrainians to come and even though U.S. is so far away, yet, you know, people who can manage getting there, they will be supported by the government. And yes, there are many that are going your direction, because here the neighborhood countries are already overwhelmed with Ukrainians.
Yeah. And they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about the internally displaced people. They keep moving. Talk about that a little bit. I mean, they're internally displaced, but then
they keep migrating. Some have relatives somewhere, so they go and try to be there. It's like when you mix the water or liquid, you know, it gets the bottom mixed. So it's still moving. People are looking for a good place to stay. Mm-hmm. And by saying good, I don't mean
something safe.
I mean safe, and schools for kids, kindergartens, hospitals, those basic necessities that they're looking for, and not every place is able to provide that. So they come and they stay somewhere for a while, and they see that they cannot be in that area. That mm-hmm. So they keep moving and looking for better people, better place, and of course they hopefully they will find safe area for waiting when the war will be over.
How do you see, with the situation as it continues and as it is now, how do you see that impacting Ukraine aid and handing out grants, and as far as that work, where do you see that going in the next 3 months?
It will all depend on the situation that develops at the battlefield. Because if when the fighting continues, people lose their homes, people are forced to find a safe place, and this is kind of help that we are providing. We are providing them with some funds for shelter, with some funds for groceries, for food. We are providing medical help. But when the fighting settles down, for instance, liberated areas, the troops go away, but destruction stays. The supply chain is totally broken. So even though there is no more fighting, but there is also no food, there is no medicine, there is no medical help. And so volunteers are going to those places, they're visiting, they're bringing bread, they're bringing just basic products for people to get some minimal help. They're also bringing some plastic wrapping to help to
cover windows.
Yeah. You know, some very basic materials. We are not speaking about reconstruction or something massive.
Yeah.
It's just a basic things to cover windows and cover the leakage in the roofs, and like gas heaters, you know, something to, because pipes are broken, but people need to cook food. So they're bringing the gas burners so that somebody is able to make hot tea, because there's no gas, no electricity, nothing. And so depending on the situation at the battlefield, this is how we adjust, and this is how the level of help changes.
So the message to whoever's listening and watching, the needs are still there.
Needs are great, and they're not going any away. Because the scale of destruction is hard to comprehend with your mind. It's hard to explain. Once you're in a safe place, you take so many things for granted.
Yes.
You're not thinking about electricity shining on you. You don't think about all the other areas of life that are connected to electricity only. But once you take that away, what do you have? You have no water because
the pumps
are not working. You don't have canalization for waste to go away. You don't have hot water, you don't have a refrigerator, you have nothing, you cannot cook your food.
That's the reality. I want people to remember. It's hard for us to put ourselves in that that place, because there's so much that we just take for granted, and
exactly.
Yeah, and it's ongoing. And then as more bombing happens, they run and they go to a new area and they don't have anything again.
Yeah.
And then they might come back to their home, but what's there?
It's been destructed.
Well, in some of the pictures we saw,
destroyed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, some of the pictures we saw of the schools. You know, and they're meeting in the schools, and the windows are just blown out. They're just blown out, and so to your point, they're putting plastic up, and the kids, because you think about daily life for children, they want to keep learning. They want to keep doing life. Mm-hmm. But how do you do that when there's sirens going off? And just the other night, you know, as we talked about earlier, another bombing. And of course, when did it happen? At night. And who are they targeting? Civilians.
Residential housing. It's apartment house. They hit the big apartment house at night, in the middle of the night. Actually, it was early morning, three in the morning. Mm-hmm. And 23 people are dead. Little kids, three months old babies, 12-year-old girls and boys. They were killed in their beds.
Mm. Yeah, we've not seen mm-hmm. anything like this in our lifetime. I mean, this is truly World War I, World War II kind of stuff. And it's amazing to hear, too, the level of carnage on the Russian side, too, the number of lies that they're throwing out to take Bakhmut, you know, to take that city, you know, and they're celebrating, but they're killing thousands and thousands of people to get 50 yards, to make 50 yards of progress, and then celebrating. What are we celebrating? I mean, so many lives lost on both sides, and it's just the atrocities happening to the Ukrainian people. It's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. But I'm amazed. You know, we arrive here in Vienna, and I see you immediately. There's a smile. Yeah, it's your spirit, and it models the Ukrainian people. I mean, mm-hmm. I just see Lydia and Tatiana, Tanya, you know, smiling. For those that don't know, these are some others of our workers here, and it's a tragic situation. But back to what we're reminded: this is not our kingdom. This mm-hmm. is not it.
No,
this is not home.
No, and I keep remembering about it every day, that it was when your life is set and safe, when you're thinking about the kingdom, you cannot understand it. It is hard to imagine. How is that our home is not here? How is that we do not belong here? How is that? How that feels? Mm. You know, you may be understanding it with your mind, but it's hard to imagine mm-hmm. how that feels. Well, lately I've been totally experiencing that.
Yeah.
I'm in Austria, but I do not belong here.
Yeah.
I have a place to lay my head down, but I know it's not my place.
It's mm-hmm. not home.
I know I don't belong here. So this feeling that I've been experiencing here and seeing within myself, helps me to understand that, well, Ukraine is also not my home.
Mm.
My home is...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's a challenge for us. You made a great point, because when it's going easy and everything's going well, we have a tendency to settle in and make this our home, mm-hmm. and we focus on this.
And there's nothing bad in it.
No,
it's beautiful. It's,
that's right.
It's great. It's,
well,
when you can feel the abundancy of life.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, and God gives us. I'm just amazed and reminded coming here how much God loves us. I mean, you think about it, He created us, and He mm-hmm. created everything around us. So He gave us eyes to see. He gave us the ability to smell. He gave us the ability to taste. He gave us emotion and friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, the joy of seeing people and hugging people that I haven't seen in 3 years or more. I mean, that's the ultimate. But you come into a beautiful place like Vienna, and you see the gorgeous. I mean, He gave us eyes to see that. He mm-hmm. gave us the ability to appreciate art, mm-hmm. ears to hear music, beautiful music. So yes, there are things on this earth that we enjoy, but how much sweeter is it to enjoy it with company, with community?
Exactly.
It's so much better with community. And I think that's what hurts with all this, is because War is the destruction of community.
Yeah.
It's the destruction of what God created.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the destruction of the beauty. I mean, mm-hmm. Ukraine is beautiful. I mean, it's being decimated, mm-hmm. you know. But more than that, the people are being decimated. Yeah. And so there are lives that are being pulled apart and, you know, people having to be dispersed. You know, that whole word, internally displaced people, that's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're being away from each other.
Yeah.
But
families are broken, connections, relationships are broken. You know, this is something that mm-hmm. gives us the basic feeling of security. People get separated and they don't have proper communication. It's hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And death happens. I mean, death happens to all of us. I mean, but when it's at the hands of evil,
mm-hmm.
when it's, mm-hmm. That's hard. That's hard. You know, when it's a natural death, that's hard enough. But when it's a child sleeping in their bed, absolutely innocent, that's hard. That's really hard. But again, a reminder, which I think is why we're seeing, talk a little bit. I mean, the request for Bibles is just going up and up and up. I mean, we're still getting tons of requests.
Yeah, it's amazing how God is how good and how God's blessings are working no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
How people getting to concentrate on things that are eternal, mm-hmm. while everything around is falling apart. They set their eyes, and of course with the help of Christians, they set their eyes on something that is eternal, on something that human cannot destroy, on something that gives this hope and desire to keep on learning more,
mm-hmm.
Learning more about kingdom, learning more about God's love, because this is something that cannot be taken away from you. And of course, many people of those who are displaced and when they're leaving their homes, when places are being destroyed, they simply lose their Bibles and they leave them at home, and that's why they're asking for Bible from us. But there are also millions of those who were too worried about life, who were too worried about their jobs and other things, and never set their eyes on God, but who now have opportunity to really think deeply and seek for the God's word. Before, Christians were, you know, preaching and evangelizing, and people were like, we're too busy.
Yeah.
I'm in a hurry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, not today. And, we know many people like this. We're like this ourselves sometimes,
we fall into it.
I have my things. I'll pay attention to God on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, these are people who really seek for God, who are looking for Him, who are coming and asking for, give me a Bible, give me a New Testament to read. I get distracted from reality only by reading Bible, because I read about eternal things. Yeah. I'm reading about Almighty God, who is in charge of everything, and that no government can provide security
That's right.
like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's beautiful to speak to how God is using suffering and how the beautiful side of suffering and why we believe what we do and we do what we do is because mm-hmm. we know that God is using everything.
Yeah.
And even in suffering, he's using it to draw people to himself.
Yeah.
And to help us help your community and Ukrainians really see what is real and what is valuable, of true value. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a beautiful thing modeled to all of us.
Yeah.
And we can learn so much from that, you know? And it's just beautiful to see that perspective of out of this horrific time of life, that God is still on the move, that God is still using this suffering.
Yeah.
Well, and a reminder too, I'm always struck by going back and really looking at Jesus's birth. You know, we domesticate that whole arrival and call it Christmas, and we make the nativity scene very domesticated and very peaceful, but we forget what God chose to come to earth during one of the most horrific dictatorships this world has ever seen. Herod was in power, and the horrible things that were going on. I mean, why did they flee to Egypt?
They were internally displaced people.
They were internally displaced people, exactly. And babies were being killed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really domesticate that, but it's a reminder from God that, hey, and Jesus says it, in this life, you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome this world.
Yeah,
I've overcome this world. Mm-hmm. Satan has dominion.
Yeah.
And all the evil is from Satan. Mm-hmm. Satan and his demons trying to get us to say, like Job's wife, why don't you just curse God and die?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the real joy and the strength comes when we hang on to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the challenge is in the good times to remember, yes, this is good and I'm going to enjoy it. And there's always things to be happy about. I mean, if I list my blessings, I don't have time for anything else. We're all blessed beyond what we deserve. But to hang on to God during all times, because that's he's it. Jesus is the only hope. I mean, as he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, that it's me.
Yes.
It's me.
Yes.
But what an opportunity for us.
We just see it more clear now.
Yeah.
Before, what we were reading in the Bible, it was a story. We haven't had any connection with that. You know, it was, we could not understand how it is. We could just read. They went to Egypt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know what it takes, literally, what it takes for a family to, because of the danger that is surrounding them, what it takes to move to another country seeking for protection. And I'm sure that there were good people in Egypt.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
there were good people who helped Jesus and his family because what they had is a donkey.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
And that's what makes Bible real in my life, understanding what Jesus himself and his family have been through.
Yeah.
And God didn't take away that from them. He didn't put them in a perfect mansion. They did suffer.
Yeah.
They did experience difficulties from the very beginning. But yet God delivered them from that.
Yeah.
He brought them through those times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Always,
always.
So I guess in one thing I've gone through, and it kind of in closing, we'll wrap up here. I've said to a lot of people in the States, because it's hard for people to wrap their brain around this whole war. And the best example I've been able to give is to say, okay, imagine, and there we have a lot of supporters in Texas. So there's a lot of people watching, you know, from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine Mexico is Russia. And they've now invaded Texas. And these atrocities are happening. There are bombings happening at night. We got innocent children, innocent people, civilians being murdered. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just call it what it is, being murdered. Yeah. And people are fleeing north. And they're heading north.
How many
north.
People are in
Yeah, in Texas. I don't know what the population of Texas is. I have to do my research. I don't live there. But yeah, I mean, but that's it's a lot of people. I mean, mm-hmm. that'd be a lot of people moving north. And so now they're coming into Tennessee, and they're coming into Arkansas, mm-hmm. and they're coming into Oklahoma. And these are the neighboring countries that are now receiving all these Texans and hearing these horrible stories. But then internally, you've got people now that were in El Paso, you know, or down mm-hmm. in the Beaumont and Houston area that are now coming up to Dallas, and they're going east in East Texas. They're going into other, they don't have a place to live, and people are having to help. How real would this be? How real would this be to Americans, you know? And mm-hmm. and how many people would be searching for God? How many Americans would be hanging on to the foundation that is really the only foundation they could be standing on?
Yeah.
And, you know, you hate to pray for stuff like that, but God uses it, and which is why the request for, to your point, why the request. So I'm going to make a plug to our people here. Mm-hmm. Go out to EEM.org. If you haven't given yet this year, help us. I mean, this is truly, we're in the parable of the sower business, as you just, and you described it's good soil. I mean, and you described, you know, there are many of us that were that soil that's thorny. You know, mm-hmm. the seed gets there and mm-hmm. the worries of this life choke us out, and wealth and, you know, good things happen. And so we don't need God. We don't need God now because we're good. Yeah. And some of us are just flat out, you know, that rocky soil that, I mean, it just doesn't, but man, this soil is good because it's been churned up.
The most of Ukrainians right now are in the position of Job.
Of Job. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they are. They are Job. They're living it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing. And thank you for just being who you are and for what you're doing here and how you're reaching out to help and make a difference for your fellow countrymen. And
it's my honor. It's my honor.
I know it is. I know it is. I know it is. Any specific prayer requests that our audience could be praying for you and or for the Ukrainian people? You're obviously end of this war. Yeah. End of this war. Please pray for the end of this war.
There are so many things that Ukrainians need at the moment, but I think that the most generic prayer request would be that the seed of God's word is growing within their hearts, because so many people are turning to God at the moment. But may God keep that focus. May it remain, may it not go away as they're going through more trials, or even when the peace will reign, for them not to turn away, not to get distracted, not to switch the focus, but have God as a focus of their lives. And may this seed planted in the dark times, may the seed
grow deep.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Because with God, we can overcome everything.
True. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for giving us this time. It's been great to visit with you again. And for our audience, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to our podcast. Give us a rating, like us, and share it with other people. And look for a new episode dropping every first Tuesday. So thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to the 5511 podcast, hosted by Dirk Smith and Brooke Kell. It's edited by David Wilkinson. The 5511 podcast is supported by EEM. EEM publishes, prints, and distributes Bibles and Bible-based materials in 30-plus nations and in 20-plus languages. Free to all. To learn more about how you can partner with EEM, go to EEM.org. And we'll leave a link for you in the show notes. We'd also love for you to rate, review, and subscribe. And of course, we'd really appreciate you telling your friends about us. So thanks for joining us. We'll be dropping a new episode the first Tuesday of every month.